As you know, the mission has 6 POC sites across the country. We are providing protection to approximately 200,000 IDPs who have been seeking refuge in these bases since the conflict of 2013. During the recent July crisis in Juba, we saw an influx of an estimated 3,000 IDPs into the UN House POC site, and then a further 4,000 or so IDPs who took up refuge in our Tompin location at a transit site. And this is a temporary location, as the Tompin base is not really designed or built to host civilians. So in light of this, we are in the process of undergoing a voluntary relocation of the IDPs from Tompin to UN House, which is better designed to accommodate and offer access to humanitarian services for the IDPs. And this relocation is ongoing, and it's taking place at least three times a week. So far, we've been able to relocate over 1,000 IDPs who have voluntarily moved to UN House. And this transfer is really important, both for the well-being and the safety of the IDPs, due to a number of reasons. Firstly, overcrowding and the risk of flooding and the lack of infrastructure in Tompin to support those that are at high risk of disease, and that includes cholera. And women and children are particularly at greater risk from infections. So they can no longer stay in Tompin, being more of the more vulnerable groups. Also, IDPs will be provided with humanitarian support and services in POC3 at UN House, where it's more readily available than it is in Tompin. And it is the mission's duty and mandate to provide the best course of action to protect the civilians. So consolidating all the IDPs in one planned protection site will enable the mission and humanitarian partners to concentrate humanitarian and protection services in one location. So this relocation is being conducted by UNMISS in collaboration with IOM, the Organization for Migration.
Yes, Chantal, when it comes to the wider protection of civilian aspects, what is the mission doing at the moment?
Well, we continue on a daily basis to conduct patrols in and around all 6 of the POC sites in the country. Additionally, in the aftermath of last month's fighting in Juba, peacekeepers continue with a proactive posture towards re-establishing a secure environment. And they're doing this outside of the POC sites in the capital, in Juba, by increasing both the frequency and number of patrols in the city. The mission is also engaged in ensuring that the POC sites themselves remain secure. And with the support of the POC Community Watch Group, the mission conducts search operations in the sites where contraband and offensive weapons are confiscated. So a number of these exercises were more recently carried out in the Juba POC site to ensure a firearm-free POC site. And this is to help in keeping with the civilian and humanitarian character of these sites. Additionally, beyond outside of the POC sites, the military component of the mission continues with its outreach into conflict-affected areas, and mainly through sector-based patrolling from our temporary operating base. And they do this through long-duration patrols and dynamic air patrols to help in expanding the mission's geographical reach. We're also using early warning indicators to help plan patrols to potential flashpoint areas. So, for example, in Bentiu and Leer, the mission is working closely with humanitarian protection partners to identify hotspot locations where civilians are more at risk. And we're conducting regular foot patrols to the east and west of the protection site at Bentiu, and evening patrols in the vicinity of Leer to help improve security. Another example is in Malakal town, where to improve security for civilians, we've established a forward operating base. So overall, the aim is to extend protection activities beyond the POC sites to build confidence, encourage an environment that is more conducive for voluntary returns.
Yeah, that brings me to a question about constraints and challenges the mission is facing or dealing with at the moment.
So one of the biggest challenges is freedom of movement for our uniformed and civilian peacekeepers, which continues. And, these restrictions not only obstruct the mission operationally in Juba and elsewhere in the country, but also affects the civilian population, where, for example, in Upper Nile, IDPs are forced to cross the River Nile at night to Wau Shaluk, as the restriction of movements is still in place. So this poses a particular security threat for women who are crossing into Wau Shaluk as they're being harassed by government soldiers. And because of these restrictions, they're having to choose to cross at night. So the mission is engaging with local authorities in Malakal and, of course, at the highest level in Juba to allow for freedom of movement for UNMIS and civilian populations in all locations. It's really important that all UN personnel must have freedom in movement to do their jobs, as this really severely impacts our ability to carry out our daily operational tasks, but also prevents us from our reporting mandate. So, for example, the most vulnerable, children, they continue to be at risk as fighting continues in parts of the country. And this is a concern for us. With the restrictions on our child protection officers who need access but are being stopped to help better monitor. So they're being impeded from doing this. And only this week, the SRSG for Children in Armed Conflict, Ms. Leila Zarugi, stated that the conflict is having a devastated impact on children, and particularly in South Sudan, following a year during which where children were victims of brutal violations, and hopes for improvement have evaporated with the recent resumption of conflict last month. So it's really important that the government upholds its responsibility and open up corridors so the humanitarian actors can move and provide vital supplies to affected populations.
Yeah. Speaking about the violence that erupted in July, last month, what is the mission trying to do about these events?
As you know, we have a new mandate that was revised on August 12th and extended to December 15th by the Security Council. And one of the key revisions is to increase the peacekeeping force levels for Juba with an additional 4,000 from the region. The crisis in South Sudan and the plight and suffering of the people are of concern to the international community, and this is an international response. To have a regional protection force to protect not only UN personnel installations, but more importantly, to help deter violence and to protect civilians. So this neutral force is here to create conditions that are conducive to the delivery of humanitarian assistance to people in need. Of course, this deployment by no means undermines the sovereignty of the Republic of South Sudan. And at a crisis summit of the IGAD Plus on August 5th, the transitional government of national unity consented, in principle, to the deployment of a regional protection force in the country. So this 4,000 strong protection force will comprise of troops from IGAD plus member states.
So the mission is waiting for the realization of this additional number of troops?
Yes, there are obviously a number of discussions underway, and logistics have to be factored in. So this is all taking place right now. And then, you'd asked about what we're doing in regards to the violence that erupted
in July.
Well, this week the Secretary General announced the appointment of Major General Patrick Kamet to lead an independent special team to look at the circumstances around the recent crisis in Juba last month. So the team will be visiting Juba to meet with all interlocutors, and they will be reviewing reports of incidents of attacks on civilians and cases of sexual violence that occurred within the vicinity of UN House and UN House protection sites here in Juba. And also, let me just say, last week, President Salva Kiir at the Transitional National Legislative Meeting also announced the establishment of an official commission to investigate the outbreak of violence in July. So we welcome this, and the UN are hopeful this investigation will be conducted diligently.